I want to wish everyone in China a happy Chinese New Year. And those of us on the blessing call, those of you, I should say, I guess I can't include myself, who have origins in China and perhaps family and traditions, happy New Year. This is a very special day in the Chinese calendar, not only in the same sense that we have New Year's, but there's a great deal of mythical significance connected with it as well. And so we are leaving the year of the dragon and entering the year of the water snake. Both of them sound kind of ominous, I think, but actually it's very relevant, I think, that 2012 was the year of the dragon, because in their mythology, the dragon is the force of transformation. And the water snake is the force of new beginnings. So we thank them for giving us this wonderful mythical tradition and wish them all a wonderful celebration today for Chinese New Year's. It varies from year to year, but today it is on February the 10th. And as we give the blessing, we're always mindful of any great event that calls people into a positive, loving state of unity, because it is through the coming together of people in love that new energy is attracted to our earth, attracted to humanity, and made available to everyone. So I think it's a wonderful day to join with people we might not normally even have a link to. This day, we are here in common celebration, and I'm very, very thankful for it. So, and I'm so thankful for you and everyone who's here today. We have a large group, and we're just getting ready to start our first webinar of 2013. I've been preparing for it right up to the hour, and I'm so excited, especially what it promises to offer us in understanding about unlimited potential, unlimited energy. We become so conditioned by the various limitations of life that are principally enforced through the field of conservation. The field of conservation is really a network of energetic connections that hold our universe in place and within a what we might call a closed circuit, where for everything that is taken, something must be given. For everything that is lost, something must be gained. And in a way, that's a good system, because it maintains the equilibrium and the balance of life forces that were established to stay in unity for all time. However, the other aspect of that is what Isaac Newton exposed as the law of entropy, and that is that as particles exchange continuously, they become depleted in their energy reserves and become consumed. But we know that our universe is not being consumed. As a matter of fact, not only is our universe expanding, but it's expanding into connection with multiple universes. So we know that there's something way beyond the field of conservation, way beyond the limited possibilities that we've been conditioned to expect. And the vicious cycle of political and economic balance, where what is gained by some is taken from others. And I think it behooves us to be at this new starting point in our life, where we know how to attract a greater abundance for our life and to be a beacon in the world for greater abundance, knowing that as we create abundance for ourselves, it spills over into greater abundance for others. we just simply don't have time to take up all the mechanics of how this works in our blessing call. But what is very, very relevant for our blessing, and for all of you here, is that we attract our life according to how we see ourselves. If we see ourselves as healthy, we will be healthier. If we see ourselves as sickly, we will be sicker. If we see ourselves as blessed, we will be more blessed. Studies and studies upon studies have confirmed that that is not just a theoretical projection I'm making to give you a better psychological orientation to life. It's a fact. Winners win. People who see themselves as winners win more. People who see themselves as losers lose more. And it's time that we took a look at the fact that we were created in the image of God. We were created as spectacular, amazing beings. And it's time, I think, we weeded out all of our agreements to being anything less, that we made ourselves available to being more blessed and to be more receptive to the blessings that are given to us. And that's really what I want to talk about today because, well, everyone needs to know this, and it's a really good setup for our call that will come later. I see that Desmond's on the line. I'm going to clear your line, Desmond. Hi, you're on. Desmond, let me interject. There's a really major echo around your voice. Are you on a speakerphone? I'm so sorry, Desmond, but I don't think anyone's going to be able to make out what you're saying. There's just a huge echo. I hope I'm not also echoing. If I am, I wish someone would let me know if there's a defect in the system. But I overheard myself on my husband's telephone, and I don't think I am. So I would love to speak with you, Desmond, but I can't understand a word you're saying, and I doubt that anyone else can either. Maybe you can call us back on another telephone or figure out what's wrong on your end. Maybe you're around some electronic equipment that's causing a feedback loop. Is there anyone else who would like to join our line and speak? I'm waiting and listening, and actually, Desmond, not to make light of your predicament, but in a way, this is the way many of us are walking around. We are not availing ourselves of the right receiving equipment or even sending equipment to make a connection with those who would love to support us, or a field of energy that could provide for us abundantly. Perhaps we just haven't had the courage to reach out. Perhaps we just don't know how. I'm going to take a call from Toronto. Hi, you're on.
Hello, this is Helen from New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Glenda. My question revolves around the time of the shift, 21st, 22nd of December. So many light workers did so much to help that shift make a difference. And my question is, what's your take on the outcome of all of our efforts?
Well, my take is that very, very subtle but significant shifts have occurred. But it's a little bit like watching an iceberg move. If you look at the whole history of man, the most major shifts in the history of civilization were ignited in a moment, but usually not visible for another 25, 50, or even 100 years. And so I think this is something we're going to have to take on faith to some degree. But as I'm doing more reading, whether sociologically, economically, or scientifically, I'm finding that there are definite changes the way we think they are occurring.
And what do you think we should, what's the one most important thing that we should continue to do to make it most positively effective?
Pray. And what I'm going, the central theme of our next webinar. Are you on the webinar?
No, no, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Not.
Well, let me give you a thumbnail sketch of it. As I said, how you see yourself has a great deal to do with what you attract and also what you create. And we all have many, many layers of being that range from the pure essential self of our true person to the many roles we play to our past history that had labels on the way other people saw us or how we saw ourselves, even into ego identities that we may also hold. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that every single one of those identities, or essences, as the case may be, attracts something. But it's very unlikely that our ego identities attract the truth. They usually attract a better or lesser place inside some story or some game we're playing. They don't attract the truth because we're not created around truth. So I would say the single most important thing to do is to be really aware of who you are. Do your housekeeping. And then I would say be very aware of the connections you make with others. Connect with the most thoughtful, enlightened, clear-thinking people you know. Stay away from fear. Move toward love. And find something in your life that you can absolutely be optimistic about. There will inevitably be changes, and most of us respond to change, especially when it's a massive change, such as a cultural change. We respond to it with anxiety. Change brings anxiety, and sometimes anxiety can escalate into fear. And so we need to be very focused upon the positive things that are happening, because there are plenty of them, and put as little energy as possible on our resistance and our anxiety about the changes that are happening. I think that it's possible there are exploitations of these changes by some dark forces that are trying to seize control. But they can only do so if we give them our energy. Don't put your energy on them. Don't give them your life. Don't give them your thoughts. Don't give them your energy. Don't hate them either. Don't manipulate them with love. Just simply remove your energy from the dark forces and give it to the forces of light. And beyond that, we love. We create. And we realize that every day is an entity unto itself. We are co-creators with God. And we honor every opportunity to engage in that way. And that's what I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have a caller from area code 321.
Hey, it's Scott from Orlando.
Oh, hi, Scott. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Did you get my little thank you note and little photo I sent?
I did, and I was just about ready to send you a thank you letter, but I was inundated with work on our new webinar. But that was, your smiling face is so nice to have on my desk.
Cool, cool. And I wanted to tell you, it was, I had that photo snapped, it was at a little jam session, and what I was specifically projecting into the camera was the joy with what I was learning at that time. It was several years ago. And what I was learning at the time was love without end.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a joyful realization.
And, well, and here's what happened cool, too. Then I saw that little photo on the or that picture on the card of
a
Scruffy Kitty. Yeah, and he had the same face I was making.
Absolutely.
And it felt like it was like I was reading and studying about things like synchronicity, and then it felt like a little came into the actual experience of life, and it was cool, and I was hoping to, you know, share that in some way as joy too.
Absolutely. Scott, are you signed up on Christ Blessing on Facebook?
I'm not what you'd call a technical person. I'm more of a technophobe. I don't do much with computers.
Okay. I was just going to suggest that would be a great way to share both of those photographs with everybody.
I'll be happy to make the effort. I'm sure I can learn it.
It's easy. It's easy, and actually you might want to because so many people are sharing their inspirations from the blessings. You just go to Spiritus Church on Facebook, and then you click on the group, Christ Blessing, and people, blessing givers and other people receiving the blessings sign up, and they just share their inspirations. These would be two great pictures to put up on that site. And I want to encourage anyone else who just wants to be more connected. It's a good place to find out about blessing givers in your area who's offering blessings and some of the group sharings that occur. So I think it's just a good thing to do. And I realize some people just are not into technical stuff, but you don't have to be really technical to do Facebook, and that's one of the great things. That's why it's spread so fast. And so many people do it. It's about as easy as email. Just has a little bit of a learning curve, and then you're up and running. But thanks, Scott. I really, really appreciated that. You're welcome. And I see Mary Smith is on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Glenda. And hi, everybody. And, Glenda, I just have to tell you that you are making my heart smile because of some synchronicities. I was unable to take your class, but I'm just so grateful to hear what you're talking about today because I am studying as much as I can on the side, just different things that I'm led to read, a lot of books right now. And one of them it was just written by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he talks so much about, I think, what you're teaching as well, which is that it's helpful to be very mindful of what precedes the words I am when we're thinking and speaking, because I am is actually one of those connections to our divine source. I am is one of the names of God, and the way that God spoke to Moses and the way that Moses responded to God. He said when God appeared in the bush and called Moses' name, Moses said, "I am here." And then that evolved into the conversation of God telling Moses, "Tell the people that I am has sent me." But Dr. Wayne goes into the concept of how really when we say, just like you were saying, "I'm so sick," or "I'm so blessed," or "I am," whatever it is that we are thinking about ourselves, to ourselves, actually does manifest. And so it's very helpful to just pay attention to what we're saying to ourselves about our state of being and our reality in the world. And I have been experimenting and paying attention to what I'm saying myself. And, boy, it's a different day when I remind myself that I am loved and I am grateful and I am a child of the Most High God. that's really all I need any moment. And so when that is my am presence, there's really nothing else that, everything else just kind of fades away. if my intention is I am a child of the Most High God, that's the mantra I want to walk with through my life. So it just sounds so amazingly connected with what you're teaching as well. So I just wanted to thank you for sharing. The course sounds wonderful, and I am hoping in the future to read it online. So thank you.
Oh, I hope you will too, Mary. Actually, when the course is over and then kept open for enrolled students for about a month or so they can recover all their lessons, it will be available as an archived course. And I know that many people will take it that way just because it wasn't convenient at this point. But it sold out 3 months.
Right.
And we had to contract with more lines to handle the demand. I have never offered a course that had such demand for it. And I think it's because of the magnitude of relevance in this particular piece of truth. And everything you say, Mary, is so true. And by the way, I love Wayne Dyer. He's just a sweetheart and such a wise man. He really has the truth down. What you say about affirmation is actually why affirmations work. But I also want to add one more thing. If any of you have ever noticed that they work for a while and then they don't work so well, it's because you need to take the next step, and that is to honor the content in your affirmation. It's not enough to speak the words. The words need to trigger the cofactor of your being, and then the being of being blessed, being loved, being a child of God, being a successful person or whatever, needs to come in and be honored. And one of the problems with actually bringing up the actual power of being, that's where all the power is, Mary, and everybody else. The activator is the words, but the words have no power. The words activate the power which is in our being. One of the reasons sometimes we will say affirmations and they work, and then they don't work is because the words lose their power when they fail to activate the being. So we have to always take that extra step, everyone. And this is why Yeshua said it is your faith that made you whole, because it takes faith to take that extra step and bring the part of you that is a child of God up to bat, that is the winner, into the driver's seat, that is the healthy person into the gymnasium or the stroll or the morning walk or whatever. It is the healthy person that's there. It takes faith to make that extra step. And it's that extra faith that is the power. Now, the reason it takes faith is because we don't see the power until we pull it into the driver's seat. And before we do, chances are there's something a little less positive in that driver's seat. Have you ever noticed, everybody, that you could say, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, and then some doubt comes in?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's had that experience. Well, that doubt that comes in is coming from a state of being in your past that didn't win, that wants to play too, that wants to say, well, okay, you can say that, but one time I didn't win. One time I wasn't loved. One time nobody cared about me. You see, and then that becomes the, shall we say, the empowered being. And the affirmation doesn't work anymore because it's not backed up by the being to which it belongs. This is what we have to do. And that's if I could put our webinar in a nutshell, that's what we're here to accomplish, is to get the being and the affirmation and the power of life all connected on the same conference call. Okay? That's what it's all about. And so that's where, don't just stop. Your affirmations are good. Your visualizations are good. All of the things we've learned that activate what's in us, it's all good. It's all good. But the activation must take place. And then it also helps to be mindful when doubts come in, because every single one of those doubts comes from a state of being we created around a moment when we were not so fortunate. And we've all had those moments on the tour of the universe. And that's what I mean by being mindful and taking inventory. And what you do when one of these less fortunate states of being starts sitting in the chair is you ask it, well, who are you? And how did you get to be who you are? What happened that caused you to think you get to sit in the driver's seat of my life? And it'll talk to you. It'll tell you. And actually, by having that conversation, it becomes less powerful. So then you go back to your affirmation, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, or I'm a child of God, or whatever it is. And you see then if it comes back again. If it comes back again, then you repeat the conversation until it doesn't come back anymore. So it's a very powerful little exercise. And it helps us to just subtly eliminate by honoring. You know, the things we oppose don't go away. Have you learned that, Mary?
You know, that's so helpful, Glenda. You're absolutely so right on. And it is my exact experience, because when I do say to myself, I am, there is that voice that says, yeah, but, you know, maybe not so much. And so that's so helpful. And what you're saying reminds me of what Jesus had said to you when he was teaching about innocent perception. And when something arises that feels a little out of sorts, you simply say, what is this? And so now you're saying, well, ask, have that conversation and say, who are you in my driver's seat? That's so helpful. I'm going to start doing that as well. Thank you.
Very good. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to approve of it. It doesn't mean you have to condone it. But you have to honor it enough to let it talk. Because there's experience underneath any less than positive being you have. There's experience there. And that experience needs to be brought up to light, examined, and acknowledged.
Yeah.
And when
this
you acknowledge it, it then just disperses or into the more positive side of your total experience, becoming part of all that you are and not just being a negative piece of who you are. See, we usually bury the negative pieces and then we try to sweep them under the carpet and pretend they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up at the most inconvenient times.
Oh, my gosh, that's so true. That's so true. Well, this is so helpful, Glenda. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary. And I don't think we've got time for much of a call. We're at 1:32. We were having such a good conversation. But from 970, hi. If you have something very brief, I'd love to say hi to you.
Yes, I'll say something very quickly. This is Cynthia O'Neill, and, you know, I love the synchronicity of everything that you're doing and speaking of, and I will be in the class today, and I'm so excited about that. And, in fact, something I just wrote about was the state of your being, let it be love. And I do believe I posted that on the Facebook, but one of the things I just want to bring up real quick is, in what you were saying about, you know, when you do affirmations over and over again, you know, your doubt comes in. And there was a study that was done even with basketball teams and with athletes where they had the group, they took half the team and sat them on the bench, and the other half would practice shooting the basket over and over again. And then the ones who were sitting on the bench during this month that they did this study, they focused on shooting the basket with their mind. They were sitting there and they could see themselves shooting the basket and making the basket and shooting the basket and making the basket. And then the ones that were shooting would shoot and sometimes they would miss. So at the end of the study, they had everybody come out and start shooting the baskets. The part of the team that was sitting on the benches, just visualizing making the baskets, made more baskets than the ones that practice every day shooting the baskets.
So I really believe that, and there's actually an important principle underneath all of that, and that is that we can become so lost in the world of action, we fail to honor the source of our successful actions. You see, it's who we are being prepared to be a responsible participant co-creating in life that brings on the success. And that's a perfect demonstration of it. I'm not sure that we could say it was all attributable to thinking and visualization. I think it was more attributable to the fact that it took a present and alive being to do those visualizations. And sometimes when we get into action, we forget to realize we are. We forget to be the being that's doing the action.
Yes.
So thank you for bringing that up, and we will certainly take up that principle more in our class. But we need to move into our blessing now. We want to extend our love around the world to everyone who needs to receive a blessing. And I'm going to meet.
What did you get?
A very quiet line for our blessing call. And be seated with your shoes and socks removed, providing it's not too cold to be uncomfortable wherever you are. But try not to have any artificial, unnatural substances blocking your feet from the earth. Sit with your back in a semi-erect but comfortable position. We're going to utilize the force of gravity moving energy down through your spine, and then we're going to use the energy of attraction to move energy up from the earth through your feet, back up through your spine. And this will cycle through many times under the power of the Holy Spirit and through the guidance and conduction of energy by Yeshua. This is Yeshua's blessing. I'm simply an antenna, as are all of our blessing givers. The blessing is for you, and it's unique for each person. And in order to refine and make it even more unique, I would like you each to be in prayer during the blessing. Pray as you feel comfortable, whether it's silent or aloud, whether it's in words or whether it's in chants, whatever is prayer for you. Be in your heart, not in your mind. Be in your heart and resonate with the energy and the love of prayer, so that you literally become the essence of your prayer and be united with God. Now let us begin with my invocation to Yeshua, and I will let you know when the conduction of energy is complete. After that, I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes, and do not think during that rest period. If thoughts come in, just let them pass through. It would be far better to fall asleep. Just be there as if you were in some kind of extended awareness with no thoughts, as in meditation, and let your body, heart, and soul assimilate what has been given to you. Now let us begin. Dear Yeshua, beloved of God and man, we thank you for being our bridge this day, for standing with us in our heart, and reaching to the realms of the divine. That all that is intended to us from the unlimited fields of existence may be provided. That we may flourish in health, prosperity, positive thoughts, and goodness of heart. that we may see the best in ourselves and be the best that we can be. We thank you for your guidance and your ever-loving care of our walk of this journey through life. Thank you for this day and for offering yourself for our blessing. Amen. the energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for 7 minutes. Be with God and know that you are loved. Allow his blessing to fill you and his love to keep you. And I hope to be with you again next week. Bye-bye.